Hey, Rebels, welcome to Rebel Soul Health Radio. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. This podcast is your go-to spot for unfiltered conversations, a fresh take on wellness, and tools to help you build your own kick-ass life, say screw you to societal norms, and find true joy in the chaos. Whether you're into breathwork, undieting, or you're just here for the Rebel vibes, this is your space. My goal is for you to listen, laugh, and leave thinking, why the hell didn't anyone tell me this before? I'm an ex-television director turned modern-day hippie mom, and yeah, I've got some privilege to unpack. As a straight white woman, my lens has undoubtedly shaped my experiences. But here's the deal. I'm all about making wellness accessible to everyone. And if I ever say anything harmful, I'm always open to doing better, and I honestly welcome your feedback. With that, let's get to it, Rebels. This podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, spirituality, and may contain discussions about eating disorders that could be triggering. If you or someone you know is sensitive to such content, we recommend approaching with care and prioritizing your mental health. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is for informational purposes only. And because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Hello and welcome to another episode of Rebel Soul Health Radio, where we dive deep into topics that challenge conventional norms. Well, not really, because so much of what I'm talking about these days is related to diet culture, and it is actually completely normal and acceptable in our society, which is what is crazy. It's cray-dog. I guess maybe what I am doing is having a different take on it than the traditional wellness culture out there, the same wellness culture that I was deeply steeped in and a part of so many years, and I'm still a part of. I just have a different way of looking at it, a different lens, and I'm much more, oh gosh, what's the word? Critical. But still love wellness. I still love yoga. I still love breathwork. I still think that supplements are okay. I still feel a lot of things are amazing, especially if they make you feel good, and we are being sold to. Anyways, I'm your host, Meg Pearson, and today we're breaking down the harmful concept of food morality and exploring the benefits of intuitive eating. So, what is food morality? Well, it is when we categorize food as either good or bad, assigning a moral value to what we eat. From clean, I'm heavy air quoting here, and organic to junk or fatty, these labels often extend beyond our plates and impact how we perceive ourselves and our worth. So the idea is that if we consume the so-called, again, heavy air quotes, good foods, then we are virtuous. Well, indulging in, quote, bad foods, like cookies and ice cream, will make us and should make us feel guilty and, in a way, morally compromised. This is, at its root, what food morality is all about. But here's the rebel soul truth. We need to ditch this food morality mindset, kiddos. Why? Because attaching morality to food only adds unnecessary shame to eating, especially for those facing mental or physical challenges. No one should feel guilty for nourishing themselves, regardless of the perceived moral value of the food they eat. In fact, for many, any food is better than no food at all. The connection between weight, our eating habits, and moral character can lead to anxiety, food-related fears, and even contribute to the development of eating disorders. And I will say it once, and I will say it again, and I'll say it again and again and again and again and again. Often, for many people, eating disorders to start from dieting. They start about the body, and then they lead into becoming a coping mechanism, and they are, as I said in the last episode, they have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. So, it doesn't stop there. Even if you don't personally struggle with disordered eating, which I believe food morality drops right into the funnel of different, a specific type of disordered eating, there's many, your words and attitudes towards food can influence those around you. And this is a really big one that we don't often think about. The way we talk about eating, exercising, and our bodies can impact not only our friends, but our children, okay? And our siblings, parents, and community, but our children. So, for example, if we label certain foods as foods to avoid or share our details about our latest diet, we might unknowingly shame those around us who enjoy those same foods. Our language and attitudes can stick with them, affecting their relationship with food in the long run. Now, I'm going to use an example. My daughter, I am doing everything I can in my conscious power and conscious awareness to help her develop a healthy relationship with food and her body. Lord knows I lost almost 20 years of my life to my eating disorder. I don't want her to have to bear the same burden. And just this week, I had packed, God, what did I pack in her lunch? Oh, we were talking about pizza. We had pizza. This is what it was. I had made pizza for dinner. And as I was giving it to the table, she had a pizza on her plate. I gave her a yogurt and some apple slices. And she said, well, maybe I'll eat my healthy foods first. And she went to reach for her apple. I said, well, pizza is a healthy food. You can eat your pizza first. And she said, no, pizza is not really a healthy food. And I said, who told you that? And she said, well, my teacher said that. And that started a whole conversation that one of the teachers at school explains to her that she should be eating her healthy food from her lunch first and save the quote, not healthy foods for the end, which is not the way that I want to be bringing her up. I have really tried hard to have her consider all foods as good foods. And I often serve her dessert with her main course. And it's up to her when she wants to eat what. I don't label anything as good or bad. And so it's interesting. I can see how her ideas about what are safe and good and healthy is already being infiltrated by the world, by the system, right? The educational system. And it's really, really important that we are aware of these things. And I do intend to have a conversation at school very soon with the teachers about that. And I do want to become an active member in my community, educating about these things and the importance of creating neutral mentalities for our children. So it's really important also when we're talking about food morality, I'm just moving along here because I want to get through a few things and keep this episode short, that we need to acknowledge that not everyone has the same access to quote clean or healthy foods. There are many different things that keep us from being able to afford things like organic, for crying out loud, with inflation the way that it is. I can't believe the cost of food here in Canada right now is just insane. So I can't imagine trying to buy myself, and we make a pretty good income. I don't think I can afford organic food. So I can't imagine how so many other people that don't necessarily have solid incomes would ever be able to afford these foods that are deemed as clean and healthy. And then all of a sudden they're considering themselves less than as parents or care providers because they're not able to buy these foods that are considered better for their family. There's also constraints like lack of time and limiting food access in general that can create inequalities that shouldn't be met with judgment. Now, I want to talk on a more specific manifestation of food morality, which is something called, and you probably heard the term, orthorexia nervosa, which is often shortened to just orthorexia. And while it's not officially recognized in the powers that be book that diagnoses disorders, orthorexia is an eating disorder. It's a disordered way of eating that affects a lot of people, and it's associated with an obsession for healthy eating and healthy living. People with orthorexia restrict their food intake, avoiding what they perceive as bad or unhealthy, and it often puts them at risk for developing an eating disorder, a full-blown eating disorder, but also it can put them at risk of nutritional deficiencies leading to different health issues like thyroid problems, chronic fatigue, blood disorders, anxiety, depression, and even heart disease. I mean, myself, I think back to years of my earliest years in recovery from my eating disorder, and on the outside, everything looked so good. I was running raw food and yoga retreats, but I was also a detox coach that was advocating for daily coffee enemas. And how my body has not had more physical repercussions because of the harm that I put it through is just, it's mind-blowing, to be quite honest. So it's really important that we start to have this conversation around food morality and stop shaming other people, become more aware of how we're speaking about food in front of other people, and maybe, just maybe, embrace the idea of intuitive eating. Because from all the women that I've worked with over the years, a theme that comes across, no matter what it is they're grappling with, whether it's about their food and their body, whether it's about relationships, but whether it's about their purpose in life, it always comes back to their lack of connection to their authentic self, their intuition, and their soul. And embracing intuitive eating acts like a portal that brings us to a place where we can start to live life from our heart and nourish our body in a way that feels good and frees up mental space for us to do what it was we came here to Earth to do. It allows us to connect to our bodies and foster a healthy relationship with all parts of us. So if you want to start redefining how you talk and think about food, I have a few tips here today. So if you find yourself passing judgment on others based on their food choices, which Lord knows that was me for a long time, I used to look at the people's grocery carts at the grocery store and look down on people that were buying a ton of processed foods, like guilty as charged. Or if you measure your worth by what's on your plate, which Lord knows many of us do, this subconscious way of thinking is food morality. And so I want to offer you some real tips to help you start releasing the judgment and cultivating a healthier relationship with food. So number one, and this is the first step of my rebel process. I'll talk about it till the cows come home. The rebel process is something that I have come up with after doing countless studies of myself, studies of my work with clients over the years, various different studies on eating disorder recovery and intuitive eating. And the first step of my rebel process is our root causes and reprogramming. So the first step here as well is to reflect on your beliefs. And this is what finding the root cause is all about. The first step in letting go of food morality is to take a close look at what your own beliefs are and where they stem from. Start to ask yourself why you feel a certain way about what you or others eat. Maybe these are beliefs rooted in societal pressures, personal insecurities, or past experiences, maybe from childhood. By understanding the source of your judgments, we can start to challenge and reshape them. Step number two, or not even step, these are just ideas and ways that you can start working to release food morality. Practice mindful eating. Mindful eating is a powerful tool to help you detach from food judgments. It involves being fully present in the moment while you eat, savoring each bite, and paying attention to the sensations and emotions that arise. By focusing on the experience of eating itself, you can learn to appreciate food without attaching value to it. Number three, challenge dichotomous thinking. Many people fall into this trap of thinking all or nothing, black or white, labeling food as good or bad, right? This is the root of food morality for many of us. But we want to challenge this binary perspective, acknowledge that food exists on a spectrum. Rather than viewing food as a rigid classification, see it as a continuum of choices that can serve different purposes. This is an essential part of the path to eating intuitively. And this goes hand in hand with number four, food neutrality. So embracing food neutrality means accepting that all foods have a place in your life without judgment. It doesn't mean you have to eat everything, that you can't have preferences, but it does mean that you need to respect the diverse roles that foods play in your physical and emotional well-being. And yes, emotional eating is okay. We are emotional beings, and sometimes we want to eat for connection. Sometimes we want to eat for pleasure, and this is okay. Number five, learn to replace your judgment with curiosity. Shift your focus from judging others or yourself for their food choices to approaching food with curiosity. Instead of thinking, oh, why are they eating that? You can ask yourself, what might be their relationship to that food? By replacing judgment with curiosity, you open the door to greater understanding and empathy. Number six, you want to avoid moralizing language. So just really be careful. Avoid terms like, oh, this is so sinful, or I'm going to have a guilty pleasure. Because that right there, you're naming it as being something wrong and bad. Do not talk about needing to have a cheat meal. I mean, if you're on a diet, get off of it, first of all. And instead of saying cheat meal, if you are trying to follow a new lifestyle, for example, if you decide that you're going to have a burger and fries, just say, I'm going to have a burger and fries meal and it's going to be delicious, as opposed to labeling as something like a cheat meal, because that right there is attaching some shame and guilt to it. Okay. Practice self-compassion. This is number seven. And I will bring this up time and time again as well. Letting go of food morality is a process, and it's okay to have moments of judgment, self-criticism, to get caught back into the black and white thinking, but we want to just practice self-compassion by being kind to ourselves when these thoughts rise up. Treat yourself with the same empathy and understanding you would offer a dear friend. And the last one on the list here I want to add is just seeking support. It can become really challenging to let go of deeply ingrained beliefs around food morality all on your own. So you can seek support from a coach like myself, a therapist, or a community that promotes a non-judgmental approach to food and eating. There's tons of intuitive eating groups out there. I'm in the end of February going to be launching an incredible new accessible low-cost program for one-on-one coaching. So if you're interested in learning about that, I'm going to put a link in the show notes where you can drop your email address and you'll be first to know. It's going to be limited. I think I'm only going to fill 6 spots at the end of February. So 6 people will be able to sign up, but it's going to be a super low cost. And it's going to be where we're going to work through this as well as any other beliefs you have around food that you want to let go of to embrace a more loving relationship with yourself and the way you nourish it. So as you start to embrace these tips and start to let go of food morality, you'll start to find yourself on a path to a healthier, more balanced relationship with yourself, with food, and with the world. And this journey of self-discovery will not only transform your life, but also empower you to support others around you in their quest to liberate themselves from the constraints of food judgment, because it really does take up a lot of mental and emotional space that it shouldn't. So if you want to see these tips in writing, go to the show notes. I'll have a link to a PDF download that you can snag. So you have these tips right at your fingertips and you can start implementing them today. All right, that's it for now. Rebel soul, I love you. Have a beautiful week. Ciao for now.
Thanks so much for listening, my rebel soul. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at Rebel Soul Health Radio and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more information on today's show, please head over to my website at meganpearson.ca. Until next time, Rebels.